Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but
Hello.
Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13.
Hello?
The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgement of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, Advent Line. Good evening. Welcome. This is Sister Powell. I was asked to help this evening. Our dear Sister Leola will be traveling. Let us offer a word of prayer. Even though we are small in number, brothers and sisters, but the Lord said, we are two or three gathered doing the things in his name, you know, and we are here praising him. He is in the midst, so we know that he is in the midst. So we're going to offer a word of prayer. Can you kneel or bow? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this privilege of prayer. We want to thank you that we can come in this form, Lord, and to lift up our voice to you. We want to thank you for health. We want to thank you for strength. We want to thank you for forgiveness, Lord, of all our many sins. And we are asking you, Father, to allow us that the Holy Spirit will abide in each one of us' heart this evening. We ask you to hasten the footsteps of your children who is on the street. Some may be at work, some doing other chores, so that they may be able to come to join us, that we can praise your name. Help us to be faithful today, Lord. We give you all the praise that due to you. And we say thank you for saving our soul. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters on this line, amen. Welcome. And we are going to start our program. I'm so grateful that God has spared our life so that we can join this evening. And this evening, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord had impressed me about this little topic, right? Earth last crisis. So we know what is happening in this world right now. We saw the thing, but the Lord said we must not be dismayed. You know, and God has always warned of the coming judgment, right? And we read that in Genesis 7:1 and Genesis 19:14. God always gives men a warning of his coming judgment. And it said here, those, and I'm reading from last day events. It said, those who had faith in his message for their time, and who acted out their faith in obedience to his commandment will escape the judgment. Brothers and sisters here, we have to be obedient. He said, those who had faith in this message for the time. What is the message for the time? For this time, we have a certain message for the this time. The everlasting gospel to go out to preach to the world. And this message is found in Revelation 14:6-12. And also Matthew 24. And my dear brothers and sisters, those study is very, very interested. And we are asking each one, you know, let us go seriously to study the word of God, because only that is going to help for us to be obedient, as we have been reading, faith in obedience to God. And only obedient of keeping God's commandment are we going to escape the judgment, right? And that judgment will fall upon the disobedient and the unbeliever. So we do not want to be in that group. We know that there will be two groups. The word came to Noah, right? And even though this is nowadays, for that time, the judgment came on Noah's time, and it also points us place in Noah time. It said, the word came to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous. So the Lord found that Noah was a righteous man, and that I be obedient to God's command, and God had instructed him what to do, and we all know. And before me, Noah obeyed and was saved. So because of obedience, Noah and his family were saved. So the Lord wants us total to surrender everything to him, to be obedient to him, to do his will, so that we will escape the judgment and that we will be saved. Right? So as I said, the word came to Noah, come thou and all thy house in Tobihah. For there have I seen righteous before me, and Noah obeyed and was saved. And also the message, not Noah alone, came to Lot. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And you know, we still find that in Genesis 19:14. Let place himself under the guardianship of the heavenly messenger and was saved. So Christ's disciples were giving warning of the destruction, also the destruction of Jerusalem. Those who watched for the sign of the coming ruin and fled from the city escaped the destruction. So now we are giving a warning of Christ's second coming. Brothers and sisters, I will just stop there. So this warning, brothers and sisters, for us to come out of the city. This warning is telling us this is the time. And it is pointing us to nowadays, what God have done was to Noah. And we saw that God found Noah righteous, that he obeyed the command. We also saw with Lot what happened to Lot, right? And even because of disobedience, we saw that Lot wife become a pillar of salt. And we saw that Lot and his daughter came out. And it also points to three events, great events, right? Nowadays, in our time, that judgment, both and Lot, that judgment, and also with Jerusalem, right? There were not one Christian was roaring with the destruction. So God is calling us out. Lord, help me to be faithful. I will just have another word of prayer, and then I will open the line. So my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, please, you know, as we read this little topic, this little encouraging word in last day event, what the Lord is expecting from each and every one of us, right, to be obedient. And we saw when we be obedient with God's commandment and follow his will and his command, we will be able to escape, you know, the judgment. Brothers and sisters, there is quite a lot of things going on even amongst us, right? And we have to be very, very careful of the things that is going around and just ask the Lord to allow us that we will continue to be faithful by studying together, share God's word together, do what he wants us to do by sharing and to let others know that Jesus is coming soon. So let's pray, and then I'm asking you to press one that you can share. Father, again, we come to give you thanks for these wonderful warning, Lord. You always warn us before things happen, and we are so thankful, Lord, even those days, Lord, in your days and olden days of the things that happen. And so those things that happen, dear Lord, we know it's going to happen again. And we are asking you, Father, as you told those disciples and your righteous men, Lord, and they were being faithful to you. Help us that we too will find the time, the life that you have given unto us, that we will surrender everything to you and be faithful to you so that we will follow your command. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and all those who join tonight so that we can lift you up with praise, report in songs, scripture, and sharing your love of the things that you have done for us. Thank you again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yes, my dear beloved, come again, and I'm going to start hoping some light. Okay? 423-635, your line is open.
Amen, amen. Thank you for opening up our line, Sister Paula. I forgot to press one. This is Sister Carla. I'm in Tennessee. I'm just giving the Lord praise and honor, which is due unto him. I've just thank him for all that he's doing in my life. And just having peace and joy, we know, past it all understanding. And I just thank him for those that I have met during the day, even today, giving out books. And every time I come in contact with someone, I'll share a book or a prayer or encourage them or talk to them and just tell them about the love of Jesus. Please keep Robin and Jessica in prayer. I hope to see them again and share the word and just get to know them and, continue to tell them about the love of God. And I'm going to share this from Message to Young People, page 359.4. It said, pride and vanity are manifested everywhere, but those who are inclined to look into the mirror to admire themselves have little inclination to look into the law of God, the great moral mirror. This idolatry of dress destroys all that is humble. Again, this idolatry of dress destroys all that is humble, meek, and lovely in the character. It consumes the precious hours that should be devoted to meditation, to searching the heart, to the prayerful study of God's word. In the word of God, inspiration has recorded lessons, especially for our instruction. So, as you know, mostly females, we have to be careful about, admiring ourselves and, putting too much time into our dress and our whatever takes away time from God. It's best, we should have all these things prepared, and instead of, some people spend hours, what to wear and going over different article of clothing or whatever to see what looks best. But if it takes away time from the Lord, it's not good. So just encourage young people and adults as well to let God be your first and your last. May the Lord help us, to seek him early. And I'm going to attempt to sing this song. And I just want to, I know I spoke to you, apologize again for Friday as my internet went out. All of a sudden, the line, my phone disconnected. The internet was off for, about 35, 40 minutes. But we know that all things work together for good. Even, I don't know what the cause of that was, but we know that it was the Sabbath, the brothers and sisters, we had prayer, we had encouraging word, and, in just that little time, God blessed us. So I'm just thankful for that. It said, hold fast till I come. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come, danger is near. Flee not as do others, be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise is given, the kingdom restore, so you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hope fast till I come. I will watch unto prayer with lamp burning bright. He'll come to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day. As we know that summer is near, is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise is given. The kingdom restored, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, right from the waiting.
Yes, I'm going to open this line here. 518-744-269. Your line is open.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. Opening my line. Yes, this is Brother Rick from Portland, New York, and listening in to Sister Carla praising the Lord, and what a beautiful song. I just thank for that song, Hold Fast Till I Come. I mean, what a message that has for each one of us, Sister. I know that Satan is working hard, very hard to discourage all of the believers, and we can't let him get started in discouraging us. So when we can encourage each other on the line and in church and wherever it is that we are, we must encourage each other to hold fast, because Jesus is coming soon, Sister. I'm just listening to some different presentations from different brothers, and wow, things are happening quickly, very quickly. The Pope is working behind the scenes. The leaders of the world are getting together and, making their pacts and drawing up the things that they want done. And, it will not be long if we hold fast that Jesus will come. Now, I was listening to, I saw some posts by Brother Akeem on Facebook, and he was talking about what was happening in the 1888 Righteousness by Faith message, and how if the believers back then had believed that message, taken that to heart, and allowed Christ to change their hearts, that Jesus would have come then. And for us today, Sister, that has a real application too, because we could do the same thing. We could delay Christ coming by not taking that message to heart, not believing in that message, and not spreading that message to others. So we must do our part in taking that message out to others. But first, we must believe that message and call on Christ to change our hearts, to give us that righteousness that only He can give us, which is His white robe of righteousness, the righteousness of faith. So let us hold fast and continue to, spread that good news, to encourage each other and to lift up the Lord to all that we meet. Because, this weekend I was with my parents, and they're getting older. My dad's 85. My mom will be 80 here very shortly. And they don't have that many more years in this world. Even if Jesus were to come, they would not be around that many more years, and they know that. They told me that. And it's good to see them, and I'm just praying that they will continue to hold fast. I see this virus going around and around, Sister, and people are so afraid of getting sick, and now they have a new variant of the COVID virus coming out of South Africa, and they're saying it's the worst one that's ever been. Of course, each one that comes out of there, wherever it comes from, they always say it's the worst one that's ever been, and they just keep people afraid and not wanting to go out and meet others, not wanting to go out and work for the Lord. And I'm thinking to myself, we must trust in the Lord to protect our health so that we won't be afraid to go out and meet people where they are. Otherwise, we will sit in our houses and protect ourselves and be scared, and the message that God has for us will be given to someone else, and we will be left behind, sisters. So just encouraging my brothers and sisters, we need to be wise about these things, but we don't need to take chances that we shouldn't be taking. We need to be eating healthy. We need to be following the laws of health. And there are many natural things that we can do to reduce our chances of becoming sick. And, in the end, we have to take that message out to a dying world. This world is dying quickly. You just look around you and to see the hate and the things that people are doing to each other, and they're getting away with it, and just this past week in California. I mean, people were breaking into stores and robbing them, carrying stuff away, and nobody was stopping them. You know, these things are just going on everywhere, and, you know, people are murdering people and hurting them, and nobody is caring about these things. So we know that God's spirit is being withdrawn slowly from this earth, and that's going to happen. He told us it was going to happen, and it is happening now, brothers and sisters. So that is just another sign of Christ soon return. So let us be faithful. Let us do all that we can do. And sister, I'd like to just lift up all my brothers and sisters in prayer. So if we just bow our heads. Lord God, I just thank you for your blessings to each one of us, Lord, your spirit that you send to guide us, to give us wisdom, to give us strength, to give us power over temptation, Lord. Oh, Father, do not leave us now. We are helpless. We are hopeless without you, Lord. We are weak, but you are strong, Lord. So we are depending on your strength, your power, your spirit to guide us, to bless us, to give us that wisdom, the power that we need to go out and spread a saving message, Lord, a message of your soon return, of your love for each one of us, Lord, for each person in this world. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. And you love them, Lord, and you want to save them to your kingdom, Lord. So please change our hearts, Lord, so that we will desire that message to go to each person we meet, Lord. It doesn't matter whether where we meet them, who they are, what part of life they're in, Lord. We want to give them that message and point them to you, Lord. Desire be to point them to you, not to us, not to anything else but to you, so that you can do the work that only you can do, Lord. You can convict people, you can change their hearts, Lord. Please continue to change ours into your likeness, Lord, as we desire to be your children. We are your children, Lord. And you told us that, so please help us to realize that each day and to live like that, Lord God. The children of the King, nothing can stop us, Lord, if you are on our side. So, Father, I lift up Sister Powell, as she is listening tonight, Lord. I thank you that Sister Carla was able to call in, Lord, and praise you with that beautiful song. Please be with her and her family, Lord. Be with each one of our family, Lord. I want to lift up all my brothers and sisters on the line. Just please bless them tonight, Lord. Guide them. Keep them, Lord. Strengthen them. They will be mighty workers for your cause, Lord. Through their speaker, whoever that may be to them, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And sister,
amen.
Thank you for opening my line. And thank you for being faithful and opening up the prayer line so that we will have a place to come and share.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You finished with Barbara. Yes. Elder Rick, you finished?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes, all finished,
okay.
Sister.
Thank you. Okay, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Elder Rick, for joining. And also this encouraging word, you know, as we see the things that is happening, you have encouraged us. You know that the virus, what is happening, and there is also saying there is a greater virus, and it's going to be worse than the one to bring fear in the heart of people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my dear beloved, that you said the God word is to trust in the Lord, right? To have faith in him, that he will total. You know, keep us with that strength, that power, that strength, that where we are weak, that he promises us that he will let us to be strong. You know, he will give us the strength so that we will be able to stand. And my dear elder, we want to thank God for the health message that he has given unto us, that he, although these viruses and these things that is happening around, God gave us the health message. You know, we read this over and over in Genesis, Genesis 1:29. And you know all these things because we have to practice the health message and be obedient to God's command. As I was reading a while ago, that God said, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree for the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. So we saw in the Old Testament what God have given unto his children because of that love, so that we will be healthy, you know. And he said to us in 30, and unto every beast of the field, everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So that is in the Old Testament, might as you remind us a while ago, that we have to be eating healthy, doing the God's will and his commandment, to be obedient. Then he said in John 3:1-4, the elder unto the well-beloved Garlic, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So, my dear Helga, what God is saying to us, he loves to hear us walk in the truth. And if we obey his law and his command, he said, I wish above all things, you know, brethren, that we walk in the truth. And I will not cause any of these diseases that fall upon the Egyptian to place upon him. So our prayer today, as our dear Helder encourage us, to be obedient, to be faithful. And again, we have the 8 laws of health that he have given unto us. Are, you know, those are our doctor call, that we can do it. We find it in our kitchen, in our pantry, outside, you know. We find all these things, you know, our nutritious meal, our fruits, our vegetables, our grain, our leafy for vegetables. We also find that he have given us exercise, where we can move our beam and, you know, exercise. He also gave us the natural remedy that helps us both our water in everything. We can't do without water. And also, he gave us sunshine, right? He also gave us, want us to be temperance. When we get the sun, now we are coming in the winter, we may not be able to be getting any sun. But as soon as we get a little sunshine, let us make use of it, right? And hear, brother, fresh air. And also rest. Rest not only rest sleeping, but thank God for the rest day Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, the 7-day Sabbath rest that God gave us. And we know that that is going to be a test soon and very soon. We know it's going to be a test because man want to change God's lawful Sabbath rest to a day that he did not give us. So we have to give God thanks, my dear beloved elder, and thank you for reminding us, you know, how we all should be obedient to this plan, health plan that God gave us. So I am going to sing this little song. And brothers and sisters, we just have a few elders on the line. So I'm just going to sing this song. And because we know that Jesus is the great physician, and the warning our brothers and sisters, if you have anything to share until others join again, despite you share already, maybe some of the tip that you use, you know, in your kitchen, we are not saying and giving out. This is just for educational purpose, that things that we use, as the Lord said, he gave us the herb to use, and we found it beneficial to us. And if you even share already and you want to share, you know, because we just have a small amount on the land. I will sing this little song because we know only the great physician we can place our life in, Brother Rick, Elder Rick and Sister Carla. Only him, he is the great physician. He is the healer. He is everything to us. So we have to put our trust and keep our eyes in. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Sweetest name on choral song. Sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispelled my guilt and fear. No other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the precious name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. My brothers and sisters, this last verse said, and when he comes to bring the crown of life and glory, then by his side we will sit down and tell redemption's story. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Praise the Lord. This is the great physician we have, my dear brothers and sisters, on this line tonight. Because this word is telling us, his word is telling us. His name, right? What his name dispelled my guilt and fear. No other name like Jesus. No other one. In all the world, we can find one like Jesus. So I'm so thankful and satisfied when he comes, my dear. He promises faithful, right, to bring the crown and the crown of life of glory. So we will be crowned with God's righteousness. We will be crowned, Lord, to sit at his feet. We will be crowned to look upon his face. We will be crowned to sing redemption songs. Lord, what a great day that will be. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we join each day, each moment in our life that we all, you know, have to ask him for that strength that we can focus our mind, our soul, our body, our whole being upon him. He is great and he is worthy to be praised. So, as we were our topic this evening, little talk, brothers and sisters, if you want to press 1, we are small in number. If you want to press 1 to say something else, you can also. But we were talking about the topic, the Earth's last crisis, and God always warned of the coming judgment, right? He always warned his people before he does things. And as we have listened and saw what is happening in this world, we saw that this whole world, as Elder Rick said a while ago, that all the world leaders is joining under one housing, one roofing with the Pope. And we have to pray for the Pope because, you know what? God had created him. And we do know that he will talk to him, show his heart. Hope it is not like fear of heart to let him know that God is the ruler of the universe. He is the creator of the universe, and he is the one who created him and every being. So my prayer is for these individual brothers and sisters who is going on like they are God, and we know they are not. So as the reading, as we're reading from the last day event, these are times that we see these readings have been fulfilled, and all we have to do is to ask the Lord to give us this strength. He said, God has told us that what to expect in our day, brothers and sisters. Before his crucifixion, the Savior explained to his disciples that was to be that he was to put to death and to rise again from the tomb. And the angel were present to express his words on minds and hearts. But the disciples were looking for temporal deliverance from the Roman yoke. And they could not tolerate the thought that he in whom all their hope centers should suffer ignominious death. And the words which, and this based on Mark 8:31, Mark 32:9-10:32, this chapter, right? It said, they needed to remember were banished from their minds, and when the time of trial came, it found them unprepared. Brothers and sisters, you hear it, the disciples, them were unprepared. God is asking, he's warning us. We have been reading his word, studying his word, seeing what is happening. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be like the 5 foolish virgins, want us to be like the 5 wise virgins who prepare their lamp, trim their lamp. And, you know, when the bridegroom came, right, who was there? They was ready. So God wants us to be ready in everything we do. We should not be unprepared. So the death of Christ is fully destroyed their hope, as he had not forewarned them. So in the prophecy, the future is open before us as plainly as it was open to the disciples by the word of Christ. The events connected with the close of probation and the work of preparing for the time of trouble are clearly presented, but multitudes have no understanding of these important truths that if they had not ever been revealed. Great Controversy, 5:94-19:11. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us be prepared. Let us be ready. Jesus is coming soon, and he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared. So if we are not prepared, we will be like the unbelief. So let us be faithful. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press 1 so that I can open the line. 631-552, welcome. Can you tell your name, where you're calling from? And welcome my brothers and sisters on the line. This is the time, the opportunity you have to share your praise report, the blessings that God have given unto you. Your line is open. Can you tell your name?
Good night, Sister Bell. Thank you for opening up my life.
Good night, my dear.
Can, can hear my voice. My voice is not 100%.
Oh, I know. Your voice is gone.
I have not been feeling well since Thursday. Yeah, but I'm gradually coming on, you know? Yeah, so, and I ask for prayer.
Okay. So I do hope that you're taking the lime, the garlic, and the lemon.
Yeah, I'm doing some stuff. Yeah.
Yes, and please, I'm asking you to also take the steam with the lime, the onion, and the garlic. You know, put a little peppermint into the water. Put a towel over your head, please, and try to get some steam. As that, you know how to. Do that with the Atan steam. All right?
Yeah.
So we know you're a brother. I know you don't can be talking much.
Yeah, but I'm coming on, you know, step by step, you know. Yeah. So,
okay. All right, my dear brothers and sisters on the line, we have Brother O'Neill. He's not feeling well. He's going to come on. He's not feeling well. His throat. He's actually a host. And at this time, we are going to open the line. We know he's on. We want to come back. He will, but we do not want him to strain his throat, right, in talking. So I'm going to open this line. And I'm going to ask my sister, please to offer, Elder Rick, I'm going to ask you to offer a word of prayer for dear Brother O'Neill at this time.
Yes, sister. Okay, let's bow our heads. Lord God, we just heard Brother O'Neill, Lord. He is a precious child in your eyes, Lord. He's not feeling well, Lord. We just lift up him and his family, but especially him and his health right now, Lord. We ask that you would touch his body, Lord, that you would heal him from whatever sickness he is suffering from, O Lord. He has been faithful and doing the things that he has been asked to do, Lord, that you have faithful us to do. So, Lord, I pray that if there's something else that can be done, that you would bring that to his attention so that he may do that, Lord, following your plan, your will, all the way, Lord. We just do lift him up, Lord. Forgive his sins, O Lord. Bless his family. Bless his work and all that he touches, Lord. We just do thank you for Brother O'Neill. He's a strong worker for your kingdom, Lord. And we just want to see him lifted back up to full health so that you can use him even more mighty than you already have, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. Just give Brother O'Neill strength, and may he be faithful to you to the end. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Elder Rick, for that prayer for Brother O'Neill. My dear beloved, I'm going to continue another little prayer, and then I'm going to open the line. Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for the prayer that our dear brother Elder Rick had presented on behalf of our dear beloved brother O'Neill, Lord, who come down with a throat virus at this time. You know everything about your child. You told us, dear Father, that you can heal all our diseases. So we are asking you, Lord, to touch your son right even now, Lord, because you know his desire is to follow you, to share your words, Lord. And he is asking you, Lord, for help at this time as the great physician. So we ask you, dear Lord, to touch your son from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet and allow him to be made whole so that he can give you the praise. He always been giving you the praise and telling others what you have done. Bless and keep, guide and protect him, we pray. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. Yes, my dear brother O'Neill, tell me when you are ready All right, I'm going to open this line. 985-232, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is the Brenda calling from Homolulu, Dana. Just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. Thank you for laying up the living. I'd like to read a devotion prayer. Holy Lord, make of your law. Holy Lord, make of the law that governs both heaven and earth. I am your clay to mold however you see fit. I am also a fool, easily tempted by darkness, with an animal spirit that does not always like to be told what to do. I submit to you, O Lord, and ask that you tell me what to do. If you do this, I promise I shall follow your commandments. In the name of the Holy Law, I pray. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for his words of wisdom that we may abide and follow so we can learn some knowledge and wisdom. And just want to thank God in general because he has been good to us. The way we woke up, we slept, and we just thank him for all the blessings. Just want to ask a prayer for it being light. And all the churches open in the name of the Father. Just want to pray for all the sick, the homeless, and all the ones that are wherever that God see fit. He know them and he know all about them. Just want to thank you for opening my line, Sister Fowler, and may God bless all of us that's on the line and those that didn't make it tonight. So, God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother Johnny. You're not sharing tonight, but I know his spirit is with yours, right? So I just want to thank you for on prayer and also thank you to be lifting us and encouraging word so that God will strengthen each one of us so that we will be strong in the Lord and strong to do his will, and especially the virus that is out there that the devil has placed out there for his people. But the Lord said, I wish above all things that our his children will prosper and be in good health. So let us sing those little words and, you know, place it on our heart, share with others, be faithful to the Lord without doubt that God have been protecting his children, his sons and his daughter during the actually coming near 2 years. You know, so he promised that he will take care of his children, especially when his children is settled in the truth. And we have the true mess of the world, brothers and sisters. On this line, we have this small group. We know what is going to come down upon this small group. So let us be faithful and be truthful to him, be obedient to his will so that we can carry out this message. Thank you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, for joining us and also for sharing. I'm over in open 857-505. Your line is open.
Hello, beloved. How are you today? My name is Brother Eli. Hello, Sister Power. Hello, everyone on the prayer line. Hello, youth. Hello, my dear brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank God, Sister Power, for his love. I'd like to thank God for his mercy. see, because he is good. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I have a prayer request tonight. My prayer request tonight, Sister Power, is to lift up my mom in prayer, because my mom needs a lot of prayer. So please lift up my mom in prayer. Sister Power, please lift up dear Brother Jahari. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. Pray for Brother Javel. Pray for Brother Jamal. Sister Powell, lift up Brother Jamal in prayer. Pray for Sister Shamika. Lift up Shamika in prayer. Sister Powell is S-H-E-M-I-C-A. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Sister Jenny. Sister Powell, Sister Jenny, start with a J. J-E-N. N-Y. Pray for Sister Jenny. Don't forget to pray for Sister Jenny, Sister Powell. Pray for Brother Isma. Pray for everyone on the prayer line. And Sister Powell, I'm praying that the Lord will bless all of you on this prayer line. And Sister Powell, please lift up Jamal. Lift up Jamal family in prayer. Sister Powell, lift up Jamal in prayer, because he needs a lot of prayer. Sister Powell, he is on the prayer line right now. Sister Powell, he is new on this prayer line. He come for the second time on the prayer line, Sister Powell. And Sister Powell, tell Jamal that I have a heart of love. I have a heart, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, I have love in my heart. Tell him that, tell Jamal that I have love and kindness in my heart. I have kindness in my heart. I have peace. I have hope. I have love. I have faith in God, because God is good. God is amazing. God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And Brother O'Neill, I hope you feel better, Brother O'Neill. Drink some water, my dear Brother O'Neill. I hope you feel better. Drink a lot of water, Brother O'Neill. Do not forget to drink some lemon tea, Brother O'Neill, because Sister Powell will say to you, drink some lemon tea, and do not forget to drink a lot of water, Brother O'Neill. Stay healthy, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, do exercise. Do not forget to do exercise, Brother O'Neill. Do exercise. Go up and down in the stairs. Go up and down. Go. Do not forget to, Sister Powell, how you say that word? Do not forget to walk too, Brother O'Neill. Stay healthy. Do walking club, Brother O'Neill. Walk. Just like Sister Powell say, walk too. You have to walk. You have to do exercise and stay healthy, Brother O'Neill. I hope you feel better. Yes, and Sister Powell, please encourage Brother Jamal on this prayer line, because he is on this prayer line. Tell him I have love in my heart, Sister Powell. Amen. Tell him now. Amen. Brother Jamal.
Amen. Thank you, my dear brother Healy, for those encouraging words, especially to Brother Honey. Brother Honey, you know, you find the love, the kindness in the heart. Brother Healy are encouraging you that he wish you, you know, a speedy recovery, and also encouraging you, Brother Honey, to drink some lemon and garlic and tea, and to stay healthy. And we know that God hears his prayer, and also is praying for his beloved Javel and Jamar. So we're going to offer a word of prayer on behalf. I don't know if our speaker will be here with us today. We are actually running. So we're asking our brother, say, Brother Ani, if you want to speak, you can press 1. That, you know, I know your choice, but I think I heard you say that later you'd want to say something. I will give you the opportunity. So we are, so dear beloved, Sister Carla is driving to work at this time. And, you know, we're praying for her safe traveling mercy. Our dear Helda is on the line. You know, I don't know if Helda have to appear, if we don't have our speaker, if he could present a little. If he can't, we will continue with our little topic, the last day event. So what we will do now, brothers and sisters, this is the time. You have the opportunity that we can lift up our brothers and sisters requested, such as our dear sister Brenda. Pray for family members and the Advent family. And also pray for Brother John. Your sister Leola is traveling this evening. Sister Carla is traveling to work. Ask you, Lord, in your prayer, I will close the prayer, but I'm asking everyone to kneel or even bow and can offer these requests. Our dear brother Rick is praying, Lord, for the line, also praying for his family, praying for what is going on, that we will not be afraid of the terror by night, as we have heard, you know, that there is a greater storm that is coming up, started in Africa, and they are saying it's going to be greater than what. How they know it's going to be greater, brothers and sisters? Let us ask these questions. But God said you wish above all things that we would prosper. So we have to trust God. So let us pray, brother. Each one can bow and pray and lift up these prayer requests. And our dear brother, honey, Father, what a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all our diseases and cleanse our iniquities. And we know that you have done it with loving kindness and tender mercy. So, Lord, we come before you on behalf of each one of us on this line. We come on behalf of myself, Elder Rick, Lord, Sister Carla. We come on behalf of Brother Eli, our Sister Brenda, Brother John. We come, Sister Carla, with her family member, Nicole, and her daughter, Amanda. We come on behalf of Brother Rick's wife, his church family, Ashley, and all his children, his grandchildren, and the church brethren. We come on behalf of our dear beloved Brother O'Neill, who is not feeling well this time, Lord. May we come and asking you boldly, Lord, as you said we must ask, and it will grant unto us. You said if we on earth could give our children good gift, what about you in heaven? And we know you offer your life sacrifice for us because of that love. So at this time, we present your son to you. We know he cannot touch you, Lord, physically, but spiritually. We, your children, come before your throne room as we call out these names to you. All of us agree, presenting this request to you. And we know where you are. A lot of people do not know you and know where you are. But we know that you are in the most holy sanctuary now, interceding, Lord, invest for us, investigating judgment, Lord, opening that book of life, dear Father. Names will be rejected and names will be received. Lord, received, Father. So we are accepted. So, Lord, we come before you this moment, Son. Pour out your blessings upon your Son. Blessing of healing, you know, his determination is to follow you, serve you in books, carrying out, sharing your message, and even natural remedy that you have given unto him to share with others. So we know that he knows, and that is we know the trick of the enemy, what he has done. He is so subtle, he is a liar, and he is a thief, but in your hands we place your daughter. We also lift your son, Lord. We lift up our dear beloved brother, Eli. Lord, continue to bless him. Continue to keep him, Lord. He, dear Father, is a man, a lovely boy with love, kindness, Lord. And he loves, Lord, to share his love, Lord, that he has for you and also his love for his friend. Lord, we come before you, dear Father, with his dear beloved mom. Always praying for mom, reaching out to mom. You know the need that mom needs and desire. We do not know, dear Father, but we place her to you and you know every need you can solve. We also present Jamal, Shimiko, Lord Jesus, to Jenny, Isma, dear Father, Ari Javel, his mom, Father Jenny, dear Lord, and also each and every one, and Brother O'Neill, he placed on his list. So this evening, Lord, as we lift up these names to you, and we all have that assurance that our Heavenly Father is able to do all things, so we place them to you, Lord. We also lift up our dear brother John and Sister Brenda. Continue to pour your blessings upon Brother John and Sister Brenda. Keep them, Lord. Guide them and protect them, dear Father. Her determination is to follow you. Brother John is sharing the message, gospel message, where whosoever he come contact with, he is sharing that his life is changed because you gave him a new heart and you renew within him and right spirit within him. So we want to thank you. We also lift up our dear beloved Sister Carla, who is traveling to work at this time. We ask you to give her traveling mercies. Pour your blessings upon her as she showers their love to her clientele, Lord. We ask you to allow them that they may receive it, the blessing, and they too will want to share the love that our dear beloved sister share with them. The love of your words, Lord, the love of your hands, when she will use it to touch and to hold, Lord. Despite of all the crisis, Lord, you have been protecting her. You have been keeping her. Lord, we also lift up to you our dear beloved elder, dear Lord, Rick, Lord. Continue to bless him, Lord. His church and his determination is to follow and to serve you. He presents his church family to you, or those who are studying, even the young people who are studying the Word Bible study, those who are preparing to go under baptism. Lord, we lift them up to you. He's lifting up, Lord, his son-in-law, and also his wife and his family, dear Father. And Ashley, Lord, thank you for what you have been doing for her. So we place her in your care. Lord, as we lift up today, dear Lord, our dear beloved Brother Eli. Brother Eli, you know everything again about him. We also lift up, dear Father, myself. Lord, you know all about my determination to be obedient and to follow your wills, Lord, to work. Lord, through me, dear Lord, that I can present your work and in words and encourage your brothers, my brothers and my sisters out there. We lift up Brother Yudi, give him the strength, the courage in his family, Lord, his children, his wife, Lord, Brother Mozart and his family, Brother Bernard and his family. We lift them up there at store, Lord, we lift up to you. We lift up our dear sister Carl, Sister Leola, who and Brother Rick, who is traveling to Alabama. Lord, give them the strength, the traveling mercy, courage, Lord, so that they will reach safely, Lord, in whatever plans and they are going. Lord, help it that it will work out to bring glory to you. Father, you are so good. You are so great. We lift up Sister Stephanie, giving you praise, Lord, for receiving her daughter once more this weekend with her. Bless her, keep her, guide her, and protect her as they travel back home to school. And Lord, we ask you for your protection and traveling mercies to you. We also lift up today Sister Katie. Father, you are so good. You are so great. Lord, with those two little babies, dear Father, you have been keeping them, dear Lord, and you as the great physician have been doing your work through them, with them, and we just want to thank you, Dominique. Continue to bless him. Continue to keep him, Lord. Oh, Lord, we lift up Sister Dixon to you tonight. You are so good. You are so great. We have not been hearing from her, but we know, dear Father, that this line is open, and you are the one going to bring back those individuals who used to be on this line. We also lift up Sister Payne and Sister Lynn. Bless, keep, guide, and protect them, Lord. Help them, dear Father, that they will join their sisters and brother again, Lord, on this line. But keep them, dear Father, and strengthen them, because if there is no other time, we need that strength. We need that power is now. We lift up our dear beloved sister, Consinelli. Bless her and her family and the resources that she bring, her help, keep her help messages, Lord, that she has bring a natural remedy that she had used, Lord, and also share with your people. And this, we are saying, is for educational reasons, purposes, and we just want to thank God. First, the Lord had shown us what we are supposed to do, and we thank him for what he has been doing. We also lift up tonight, dear Lord, the our line, Advent Light. We lift up, dear Father, the Chat and Chew line, as we lift up Brother Helroy, who is coming, Lord, with the message. Dear Father, with the March 25 and the last day event, dear Father, we just want to thank you for what you have been doing to young men, Lord, Sister Naomi, Sister Kobe, Sister Wilson, and also Sister Francie, Sister Jenny, Lord. We also lift up Sister Tor, dear beloved Sister Tamiko, as she pray for herself, our Tony, Taiwan, and Keisha, and Elizabeth, and Miriam, and Rochelle, and her grandchildren, who is with her. We ask you to pour your blessings now, dear Lord. We lift our line to you tonight. I do not know who will be doing the presentation, but dear Father, you are God, and you can do all things. And bless us and keep us, Lord. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us. We lift up our dear beloved brother, Akin, who always present our message on Sunday night, Lord. Keep him, guide him. As a young man, you have been using him to present your word, Lord. So give him the strength, the courage, that he can reach this world who is dying with sin, Lord, and to draw them back to you. Bless us tonight. Bless and keep, guide and protect each one. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, thank you again for sharing. And, you know, we're going to open Brother O'Neill line. I don't know if you want to say something. And then, Brother Rick, I am asking you if you would like to just share a little thing to us for the rest of time. You can press 1 that I, you can take *6 to get yourself off the line, and then you can press 1 if you want to share. So I'm going to open Brother O'Neill line. If Brother O'Neill have the, we don't want to allow him to use his voice too much, but if he has something else to share. Brother O'Neill, 631-552, I open your line if you can. You know, if you want to say a few words, we don't want you to strain your voice.
I want to thank God for his goodness and his mercy once more. And thank you, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. But in everything, in every situation, we have to give God thanks, because we know that there is so much to give God thanks for, because we are on the land of the living. And we're not in hospital room, under ventilation and all these things, ventilator and all these things. So there's so much to thank God for as a people, especially in these last days of our history. You know that sickness and death is a result of sin upon the earth. And we know that a day is coming when all these things shall be null and void, you know. And there shall be no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow. We see that day is approaching. We see that day is approaching very fast. But God is preparing a people for this time. In 1 Chronicles 12, as I share this, a bit of scripture that I've been looking at for a while now. In 1 Chronicles 12, about Issachar, sons of Issachar, says in in 1 Chronicles 12, from verse 22, it says, "For at that time, day by day, they came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God." In verse 23, 1 Chronicles 12, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready to arm to the war, and came to David, to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord." In verse 32, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, and to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command." So Issachar, they knew of the time, sons of Issachar, they knew of the time, especially at a time like this, the children of God, the people are preparing for translation, the Advent movement, the second Advent movement right now, to know the time that we're living in. Matthew 24, when Christ, the disciples came to him privately, on the Mount of Olives, they came privately to him and to ask him the time, what shall be the end of this world? And we are seeing, we are living at the time of the end. Since 1844, we're living in the Day of Atonement. And we know that a time is coming when Christ shall cease his administration in the most holy place. And we see what is happening, that gradually the Spirit of God has been withdrawn from the earth, because man is rejecting the mercies of God and rejecting the Spirit of God. And as he said in Genesis chapter 6, that my spirit will not always strive with men. And we see all that is going on and all men do it. Solomon said, God has made man upright. God has made man upright. But men have sought out many inventions. One of the latest technology that man has created is the AI technology. The AI technology is a technology that they are using to manipulate men. So AI technology, artificial, it is an artificial AI, I mean artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence. So they are creating things. Artificial intelligence using all type of machinery to mimic man. And the same as that was happening in the days of the antediluvian. They were doing amalgamation. And we see what happened, that the earth was destroyed by a flood. But we see in the last days, the enemy is creating AI, artificial intelligence technology right now. We see one of the billionaires that has been funding artificial intelligence is Elon Musk. He has his own company that he has built to mimic mimic God's creation, and coming up with all type of artificial intelligence, things that men would normally do. They want machine to do all these things with the same capability as men.
Okay.
So the enemy, Satan, is behind all these things. That great controversy tells us that he's in the laboratories, not just creating infectious diseases, but he's also trying to create artificial intelligence, artificial. We see that we have the everything that men have created. We have the car now that we can plug it in. instead of using no electric, any gasoline, you can charge up your vehicle now. So they want everything to be run on an electronic scale, ultimate goal. So we see what happened with the first discovery of a vaccine that has the mRNA vaccine. This vaccine has been electronic setup that can trace and track human being, and it can tell us of ailments inside of your body. That's how they want to set up everything, that you don't have to come in. They can just go on the computer and punch in information because they have a tracker, and then it can tell what's happening inside of you. So we see that man is going opposite of what God created man to. Man are always going beyond what God, the limitation that God has placed on them. Then the true knowledge that they should need, they should want to have, is the knowledge of God. But men don't want that and are rejecting the knowledge of God, because the same spirit that Lucifer said in Isaiah that he wanted to be like the Most High, he have placed that same spirit in men, and they have been going about things. And many people are alarmed and fascinated and are amazed by all these new development and these new technology and these new gadgets and these new things, and think that these, we have evolved to a new era of things and this world is going to be a better place now. But all these things men are creating towards their own destruction. And that's why it says in Revelation chapter 11 that he's going to destroy all those who think to destroy this earth. Because men are creating all these things. And then after, when they create all these things, then they see that there's climate change. But I want to remind each and every one of us on the line, the climate has changed since Adam and Eve have eaten the forbidden fruit. The climate has changed. Sin has entered the earth. And things is getting worse, because we see the end is near. Christ is about to finish his last ministerial work, the heavenly sanctuary. So we see all of the things happening inside the church and in the world. So it's telling us that things are not the same anymore. In Romans, one of my favorite texts to back up these texts in 1 Chronicles 12, Romans 1 second.
They have a brother. Look at brother Akin is on the line, and this is like,
okay, he's on. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
You look in the chapter. The chapter.
You could let him. You could put him on. She just is on.
Okay. Okay. All right. We just want to thank Brother Honey for that reminding, you know, that what is happening. But all we have to do, we know we have a Savior, Father, who we control the world. And all we have to do is to be obedient, to follow and follow his will. Right? So I'm opening this line. Okay. 301-640. Your line is open. Welcome.
All right. Thank you for having me on once again. Sorry I'm late. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Thank you, brother Akiyat, Brother O'Neill was there sharing a little, even though he has a sore throat. So we just want to thank you for your presence and that you are here with us.
Okay. Thank you for having me once again. And then Brother O'Neill, thank you for sharing that. Despite the fact of having the sore throat, being willing and sharing it, I just pray that the God's grace, as was mentioned, will continue to look to Christ, and as we depend on Him, have Him strengthen our hearts and minds. So as we go into this today, we're going to be continuing in Revelation chapter 17. We've been covering the sanctuary in connection with the movements that will rise up to attack the sanctuary and the movements that will rise up to protect the articles in the most holy place and rise up to attack the protect the articles in the most holy place and to attack the articles in the most holy place. And we saw that the movement that will arise at the end of time while Jesus is in the most holy place to attack the articles is the papacy, but now with the additional component of apostate Protestantism and also spiritualism. So as we go into this, we're going to be continuing in Revelation 17. But let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, strengthen our hearts, give us deeper understanding of your word, and draw us ever closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So it says here, as we covered last week, we saw in verse 8 of Revelation 17, the beast that thou sawest, that was not, and is that was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. We saw that that was in reference to the papacy. How did we know this? It says in the next part that they that dwell on the earth shall wander, meaning wander after this beast that was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we're realizing, whoa, the beast that was, is not, and yet is also the beast that shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, right? So it's really the beast that was, is not, yet is, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Verse 8 at the end adds the aspect of yet is. So even though it's not, meaning it doesn't have the power that it once held during the Dark Ages, it still is in existence and will one day rise to the power again that it had during the Dark Ages. So the beast that we're talking about in verse 8, after whom all the world wonders, is none other than the papal system. And the way that we realize that is that this same language is used for the first beast of Revelation 13, the papacy. Right? It says in verse 3 that he received, that the beast received a deadly wound, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. Now it says that, also in verse 8 of Revelation 13, it says, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life that was slain from the foundation of the world. And so we're realizing, whoa, we're talking about the same beast here, the papal system. Now, as it continues, it says in verse 9, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth of all of these powers, of all of these kings that we're looking at here, and is of the seven and goes into perdition. So let's break that down. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. So in other words, and you remember, the source of wisdom, in other words, to have the eye salve that the Laodicean church needs, an eye salve that can discern the truth, wisdom that of course comes from God. As we call upon God, God giveth wisdom liberally to them that ask Him. And so we must go to God to have our minds strengthened with wisdom. So here's the mind which hath wisdom. It says the seven heads are seven mountains. Now mountains in the scriptures are a symbol of kingdoms. So for example, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, you remember how the rock is identified in Daniel, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. The rock that came and struck the image in its feet, that was cut out without man's hands, has a number of symbolic meanings, but one of them is that it symbolizes the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ that will take over the whole world, that will begin to do a powerful work at the second coming, and then will finish up its work in taking over the whole world, because that's what happens to the rock. The rock that strikes the image and shatters it into pieces like chaff on the summer threshing floor, that rock expands and ultimately takes over the whole world. And that's what happens, friends, after the millennium, after God finally destroys the wicked. But all of this begins at the second coming, right? So there's a destruction that takes place of the wicked that were alive at the second coming. And then there's a final destruction of the wicked in what is called the executive judgment, where they are finally destroyed by fire, what is called in the Bible the lake of fire. It destroys them according to their works. And then God recreates the entire planet, his kingdom finally being established here. And so as that happens now, we're seeing that, whoa, that rock was a symbol of the kingdom of God. So when it says the seven heads or the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and that woman in reference to Babylon the Great. So Babylon the Great, or the papacy, sits upon a kingdom. That's what it's saying. Now, as it talks about this kingdom, it says here, and there are seven kings. Now, the literal translation in the original language, the Greek language, reads, and seven kings are they. All right? So the mountains, seven mountains, are seven kings. So literally what the Bible is saying, the seven heads are seven mountains, verse 10, which are seven kings. And then it says here, so now we're going to see the spirit of the papacy has been in the world before the papacy was established. Because the seven kings that we're going to look at here encompasses the kingdoms, the major kingdoms that reign from the prophet of the Old Testament, the time of the prophet of the Old Testament, who address these same kingdoms all the way to the end of time. So friends, in order to understand this, we go back to the book of Daniel, and we see in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 10, and finally climaxing in Daniel chapter 11, all of these kingdoms that we're going to look at here. The seven kings is a representation of kingdoms, for that's what kings rule over. What are these seven kingdoms, right? Now, you remember the major seven kingdoms that are covered in the book of Daniel, this is what we're really talking about here. So this is nothing new, but it's God covering this in the book of Revelation and repeating it and enlarging it. So it says here, these are seven kings or kingdoms. Five are fallen. So if we start from the book of Daniel, these major kingdoms that starting from the book of Daniel, which is the sister to the book of Revelation, as we look at this, we realize, okay, what are these kingdoms? It has to start with the kingdoms that Daniel began to identify in Daniel 2. The first kingdom is even in Daniel chapter 1, but as Daniel identifies them in Daniel chapter 2. And so what was the first kingdom? Babylon. Second kingdom, Medo-Persia. What was the first kingdom? Babylon. Second kingdom, Medo-Persia. Third kingdom, Greece. Fourth kingdom, Rome. Fifth kingdom, the continuation of the Roman Empire in what? In papal Rome. So a transition from pagan to papal Rome. This is the first five kingdoms. So rather than it being popes, and you guys have probably seen this rising up every time there's a new pope chosen, this prophecy comes into play without considering the context of the passage. The context of the passage is dealing with a kingdom, yes, the papal system, but as they cover these kingdoms,
Remember, mountains symbolize not just kings, but kingdoms and the kings that rule over them. So we're talking about seven kingdoms that have existed. And the only other book, the sister book to Revelation, covers those kingdoms. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome. So rather than popes, and this is the interesting thing about this other prophecy, whenever a new pope is chosen, they say, whoa, these five kings here, and the one that is, and the one that is not yet come, who will rule for a short space of time, it's talking about popes, starting from a certain pope, coming up to the present pope. But the problem with this that way of interpreting the scripture is that, friends, many people believe that Ratzinger was the last one. They thought that Ratzinger was the eighth of the seven. And friends, another one rose up. Pope Francis came, and friends, it will continue in that way. Why? Because God is showing this is not the interpretation, the proper interpretation of the prophecy. It is that as we compare the book of Daniel with the book of Revelation, we realize that it's talking about kingdoms that have ruled with the very spirit, aspects of the spirit of the papacy before it arose. It says, so five are fallen, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, right? So these are the first five. Then it says, and one is, right? Now it's very interesting because as we look at this, as it says one is, it has two more to go. It says one is and the other is not yet come, right? And when he comes, he will continue for a short space of time, and then you have the eighth. Now look at what it says. The eighth is one of the seven, right? And we're going to find out, we already found out who this eighth beast is, because it says, and the beast that was, verse 11, and is not, is the eighth. Now remember, we found out who the beast was, who is that beast that was and is not. We found out it was the papacy. But it says the papacy was also one of the previous seven. And we already looked at where that is, because you remember, we covered in the first five kingdoms or kings, we saw the papacy. It was the fifth kingdom. So it was Babylon, Medo-Persia, Rome, pagan Rome, and then what? The eighth beast was the fifth kingdom, right? Papal Rome. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome is the fifth, and Papal Rome is the eighth. So this is why it says here, and the beast that was and is not is the eighth, and he is of the seven. In other words, he was one of the seven as well. But why is he mentioned twice? Because you remember that beast was attacked and then it rose again. The beast received a deadly wound, it quote-unquote died while still being present, but it lost its civil power, and one day it will rise, in a sense resurrect, to the power that it had during the Dark Ages. So it is the fifth, meaning one of the seven, and then it is the eighth. All right, so I pray that makes sense. Made sense. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome. The next kingdom that rose up for a time, taking away the power of Papal Rome, was none other than that great kingdom that we find that was one of the most ardent supporters of the papacy, but finally took away its civil power in 1798. None other than France. So, first, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Rome, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, and then the one that is, which is the sixth, is France, and then it says, and the other is not yet come, right? And this is powerful, because in other words, it means come into being the ultimate power. When Babylon was in power, it was the ultimate power until it was taken down. When Medo-Persia was the ultimate power, it became so by taking down the previous kingdom. The same with Greece, it took down Medo-Persia. The same with Rome, it took down and absorbed Greek principles. And it was the same, similar with Papal Rome. It adopted the principles and took over the principles, continued the very principles of pagan Rome. But then when it came to France then what? Rose up to become the superpower, right? And as it became the superpower of the then known world, it is known as the one that is. So we're talking about powers that when they arrive on the scenes, they are counted when they become the superpower of the world at that time. Now, friends, was there a power that was not yet at that stage, but was coming up even while the French Revolution was taking place? We know, according to Bible prophecy, that that is a yes. Even while in 1798, Napoleon sent in Berthier to take away the Pope's civil power, to take the Pope captive. That Pope died in captivity, the deadly wound, thus inflicting the deadly wound. And the civil power was lost, thus inflicting the deadly wound. While that happened in 1798, just 22 years earlier, just a few decades earlier, in 1776, the Declaration of Independence, right, took place, right? So 1776, of another nation that was rising up, that was not yet the superpower of the world, but it was rising to that point. And friends, that is none other than the beast that was to come. It says, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space of time. And it's interesting, in comparison to the papal the time of papal domination, for 1,260 years, the United States has only been an establishment. The experiment has only been an establishment for just over 200 years. So this is very interesting what we're looking at here, a short space of time, ultimately revealing that the purpose of this nation, when it is not connected to God, do you know what its purpose is? To prepare the way for the eighth beast. This is what Revelation chapter 13 reveals to us. What we're looking at here is Revelation 13 again. The United States, that kingdom, that when he comes, he must continue a short space of time, that system of government, when it is not connected to God as it should be, not by legislation, not by force, but as the people depart from God individually and ultimately corporately, what will happen is that an institution and a concept of Rome will be instituted in this land. And when that time takes place, the eighth beast will rise again. Through that beast, when he cometh, will rule for a short space of time. And that's what Revelation 13 reveals. It reveals that the second beast will prepare the way again for the first beast to have worldwide domination. So that second beast goes on for a short space of time to prepare the way for the first beast of Revelation 13 to have its power again. Hence it says in verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. In other words, when that beast rises up again, its trajectory will be, even though it will gain worldwide domination for a short space of time, its ultimate trajectory will be destruction. It's going to be destroyed. And so as we look at this, friends, we've broken down 9 through 11. We've seen that the seven kingdoms are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome, France, the United States of America, and then finally the eighth beast, which is Rome, will once again rise up. And so this is what prophecy is foretelling. It is showing that one day papal domination will be resurrected. And at that time, along with that papal domination, persecution will be resurrected. This is why the Bible is revealing to us, because it's showing us that our only hope at that time will be to turn to our great fortress. And our great fortress at that time will not be an inanimate object, but a living being, Jesus Christ, will be the only one who can protect us in those days when that time comes. It is coming, but now what God is saying to us is, in light of it coming, the only way that we can be prepared is as we establish ourselves upon the rock Christ Jesus. While the woman sits upon seven mountains and she establishes herself upon the previous kingdoms and their principles, we must establish ourselves on the rock. We must stand upon that rock that will blow away all of these kingdoms and will establish itself forever. That is the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. I pray that that made sense, friends. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, you'll prepare us. And Lord, even though, yes, we see this as one of the indicators ready, but yet, Lord, at the same time, we keep in mind that the shortness of time should not be an incentive to prepare. We need to know these prophecies since we are covering these things because you have revealed them to us in love. But Lord, may we remember that that is why you reveal them to us. You reveal them to us because you love us. This is a love letter. And so, Lord, it is not so that we can read it and depart in fear and terror. No. We see these things as a revelation of love. So thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hawkins, for do that presentation and explain so clearly to me what is coming up on this earth. But our encouraging word is that we have to ask the Lord to allow us that we can stand, be faithfully obedient to his will. And this prophecy is something real and it's for us. I just want to thank you on behalf of my brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters, we know that it's a lot, but we can go and study the scriptures, the passages that our dear beloved brother Helder gave us a while ago, Pastor, you know, and Revelation 13, you know, we can go and study another scripture. So we just want to thank Brother Akeem James for that presentation. And brothers and sisters, we want to thank you all for joining this line. And we are blessed, and, you know, and we cannot take this thing for gratitude because God have given us the resources, you know, dear help. Path, you know, as a young man, God have allowed him to finish his course completely and doing his will, not Brother Akeem's will, the will that God have given unto him. And he has been going out there presenting the word, and he is so faithful by coming to join, to share, to educate us, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. So we just want to thank God that God have been using our dear beloved, that he can present the message out there to others, to myself and others. So let us be faithful. And remember that tomorrow night we will be on the Tennessee line with Elder Richardson with the Great Controversy, the End Time. And I always say Great Controversy. We finish that, complete that book, the End of Time reading. So we ask you to share the line to others, the number, that, you know, your brothers and sisters can join us. These studies is very important for us. And thank you again for coming. I will just close up with another prayer. Father, we just come before you this moment to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of this study tonight, Lord. Allow us, dear Lord, that we will understand, despite of what is coming down upon the world, you are in control, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful of, Lord, help us to trust you. Our whole study, dear Father, from Genesis to Revelation is for us to trust and to be obedient to your will. You gave us, Lord, your example, Lord, who was faithful, and because of faithfulness, dear Lord, they were able to enter into the ark. And those who were unfaithful, we saw the judgment came down upon them. So, Lord, we have a lesson here to learn, an example, Lord, that we can follow. And listening to your words daily, we know we cannot do it alone. but we are depending upon you. Wash us, Lord, cleanse us, and make us, Lord, to have the character of you, dear Father, that we will be completely filled with the righteousness of faith by Christ, by doing your will and living the life that you have lived while you were on earth. Bless us, we pray. Bless each home, Lord, each brother, each sister, each children. We present our ministers to you, Lord. We present our organization, the Seventh-day Adventist organization, from the president to the local churches, the ministers, them, Lord, open their eyes so that just as our dear beloved could come and present these messages, help them that they can go out in their sanctuary and present these messages to the dying individual that they may understand your truth. Bless our church family, Lord. We pray, brothers and our sisters, our family members, we present the youth to you, Lord, from all the churches over the world. They will be the leaders of tomorrow, dear Lord, and they have the strength, the energy, and dedication that today you have given unto them, so that they will be faithful, dear Father, to carry out your gospel message, just like the three evil boys, that they would stand still and firm. Bless us tonight, we pray. Give us a good night's sleep, and help us that we may rise tomorrow to lift you up and give you all the praise. Thank you for hearing tonight, and thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, my dear brother, we'll just close off with a song, and you have a blessed night. Oh, the song not coming up. I'm trying to get the song.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes.
Oh, Lord.
And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is common.